and the world of freedom.
Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
This is Radio Goethe Magazine with Arndt Peltner. News and information from the heart of Europe.
Hello and welcome to Radio Goethe Magazine. I'm Arndt Peltner. In today's program, we go for a walk through the Reichstag building in Berlin, so stay tuned. But first, the news.
Radio Goethe Magazine. The news with Nina Paula.
Berlin. Germany opens its doors to certain high-skilled engineers from the Eastern European countries that joined the European Union from May 2004. Changes to labor laws allow German companies to hire skilled workers from electrical and mechanical engineering sectors without giving priority to German applicants. When the plan was announced earlier this year, German Chancellor Angela Merkel said the government's priority would be to give a chance to those people in Germany who are unemployed. Germany's unemployment in October fell below 3.5 million for the first time since 1995. German firms are scrambling to find engineers and other highly skilled employees. Kassel. Kassel is the first German city to go completely green when it comes to power. The Kassel Municipal Utility Department said that power supply for the entire city of 200,000 inhabitants had been switched over to hydropower from Scandinavian countries. Power is now supplied by Vattenfall. Critics say that Vattenfall stands for irresponsible energy politics. Düsseldorf. In over 100 German cities, politics isn't just for adults. In addition to going to school and playing soccer and basketball, a lot of children sit already in a so-called youth parliament. In Herdecke, a little town in Germany's Ruhr Valley, for example, such a parliament was founded 9 years ago. Meanwhile, there are about 30 young parliamentarians at the local schools to represent the interests of their fellow classmates to the mayor and the city council. The Children's Charity of Germany estimates that there are well over 100 such youth organizations in the country. Berlin. Berlin's 6,000 Hindus are to finally get their own place of worship. Construction began on the temple, which will be the second largest in Europe. The temple is being built in a park in Neukölln by the Sri Ganesha Hindu Temple Committee and will be dedicated to the Hindu god Ganesha. The construction, which will cost 800,000 euros, is financed entirely by donations. It will have a 17-meter-high ornamental tower decorated with sculptures. Berlin. The East German automobile Trabant has stood the test of time. The car now turned 50 years old and may be more popular than ever. On November the 7th, the production of the Trabi began in Zwickau. In the following years, it provided hundreds of thousands of East Germans with their first wheels and achieved cult status following German reunification. 52,000 Trabis are still on German roads. A special auto parts market has been arranged.
On November 9, 1989, the Berlin Wall crumbled. The peaceful revolution in the German Democratic Republic made it possible. Less than a year later, Germany was reunified. The capital was once again Berlin and the parliament, the Bundestag, moved to the old Reichstag. The Reichstag building was right at the Berlin Wall on the west side of the city. I remember looking out the window on a school trip to Berlin, seeing the wall, the border patrols, the watchtowers at the Iron Curtain right in the middle of Berlin. Today the area around this building has changed. Visitors from all over the world are coming to see history meeting modern architecture. Our Radio Goethe reporter Nina Paula went to Berlin to meet Emily Feitsch, who is working for Dagmar Freitag, member of the Bundestag for the Social Democratic Party. Emily took Nina on a tour behind the scenes of the Reichstag's building.
This is Jakob Kaiser House. This is a modern building situated directly behind the Reichstag building. In this building, the members of parliament have their offices, their staff sit here, and the staff who work for the five different parliamentary groups. It's made up of eight individual houses within one house. Eight Different architects designed each house within this building in a different way. And it's also split in two. The road divides Jakob Kaiser House between the south side and the north side. And joining each part, the north and the south side of the building, are two glass bridges going over the road and two tunnels. To get to the Reichstag, we can walk through an underground tunnel, which means that in winter, of course, you don't need your jacket, your coat or your umbrella. And also for security reasons, staff, members of parliament can go from one building to the next without having to go through the security measures again. This is an area, though, where normal public would not come to.
So it's no public building.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Nobody can come in.
No, only visitors of the members of parliament can come in, but it's not open for general public viewing.
But if somebody, a friend or a visitor of staff, comes in, it's high security level.
Yes, security measures are here like at the airport. Guests have to be registered with the police here and the security system here in the Bundestag. And yes, you have to go through the X-ray as you would at the airport.
Are there guards in front of the houses?
No, there aren't guards in front of the houses, but there is a police guards here who purely work for the Bundestag that walk around within the building. But no, there's no need for guards outside the front of the building.
Okay, so if it's not open for the public here, let's walk through, I think.
Huh? Okay.
Okay. How many kilometers are you walking a day here?
Oh, that's hard to say. Definitely a few kilometres. I think for the members of parliament, it's a few more. In a day, you may have as many as 8 meetings. So you're walking from one building to the next all the time.
So you don't have to make some aerobic or other training?
No, you can keep quite fit. All the steps come along with this job as well.
And here is something old. It looks like a piece of an old tunnel. What is it?
Yes, that's right. Well, when they built Jakob Kaiser House, this was when the government decided to bring the parliament back to Berlin, from Bonn to Berlin. They found this tunnel, and this tunnel used to go from the old Reichstag's president's palace to the Reichstag building. And historians believe that the arsonists who set the Reichstag on fire in 1933 managed to sneak into the Reichstag through this building, and set the Reichstag on fire. The historians argue about this, but many believe that it could have been through this tunnel. And in memory of the Reichstag fire and the innocent man van der Lubbe, who was convicted of the Reichstag fire, we've got a piece of this tunnel still here. A tunnel within a tunnel, so to say.
So now we go up the stairs, mm-hmm. right to the Reichstag.
Yes, that's right. We're now arriving in the basement of the Reichstag building. Yeah, and we're standing in front of, it looks like a rusty wall. We can go and have a look at it. It's a piece of art from a French artist, and it's called Archive of the German Members of Parliament. And we can walk towards it and have a look at it in more detail.
But it's a very, very big wall.
It's big, yes. That's because it consists of, they look like shoe boxes, rusty shoe boxes. Yeah, every member of parliament from 1919 until 1999, who was democratically elected, has, got a place here in the Reichstag. So, as you can imagine, every member of parliament over 80 years, there are quite a lot of shoeboxes.
And is there something in these boxes?
No, there's nothing in them, but you could always think, there could be personal artifacts, files. I think that's the idea the artist wanted to have. Yeah, and on each of these boxes is a label with the name of the member of parliament, their party, and when they were elected. It stops at 1999, when the Bundestag came back to Berlin. It's not going to be extended. So those members of parliament who came after 99 had bad luck. They're not going to be a part of this work of art. Especially amongst the older members of parliament, you can see which one of these were victims of National Socialism. It's around about 100 members of parliament who were killed at that time. Yeah, and as you walk through, looks like a tunnel. Especially here on the right-hand side, you can find a few names that the normal person would also know. Angela Merkel,
Manfred Kanter.
All of our ministers are here. Gerhard Schröder, our last chancellor. Most of the big names you can find here. You just need to have to know where to look. But the interesting thing about this archive is a black square up here on the left-hand side. Only, as I mentioned before, only the members of parliament who were democratically elected have a place here. So those politicians during the Nazi period don't have a place here. This is what this black square is to commemorate the time where we had no democracy here in Germany. Down here, though, is one box without a label. Adolf Hitler would normally have his place there, but I don't know. Someone's always ripping that label off because they have a problem with him having a place here. But to be fair, in 1933, there were democratic elections and the German people did vote for Adolf Hitler. So that's why he would have a place here. Well, we're now on the first floor of the Reichstag, at the back of the building, looking through this modern glass windows through the back entrance of the Reichstag. And we're now looking at the square between Jakob Kaiser House and the Reichstag. With the way we walked through previously, through this tunnel, was just under this square we're looking at. And the interesting thing about this entrance is really the square itself, just behind it. If you look only a few metres away from the Reichstag, there's a darker line of paving slabs going from left to right, cutting the square through the middle. This is where the wall used to be. Actually, really only a few metres from the Reichstag. You can hardly imagine it now. But we're now on the Reichstag side in what used to be West Berlin, on the other side, East Berlin. So what for us was a matter of 2 minutes walking through a tunnel, this is an area that people died trying to get from one side to the other. The eagle, the Bundestag's eagle, is a symbol of the parliament here. And this side is also the eagle that most members of the public also don't get to see, because we're still in an area where visitors normally don't get to. And most people don't realise that there are actually two eagles. There's one on the inside of the plenary chamber. So when we go round to the other side, we'll see one eagle. On this side is another one. This is the modern design. This is the design from the architect Norman Foster, who rebuilt the whole Reichstag building. He didn't like the old design and said it looked like a fat chicken. And he really only wanted to hang his Bundestag's eagle, his new design. But there were arguments about that. And they reached a compromise. He built a glass wall here, on one side his eagle, and on the inside is then the original design of the parliamentary Bundestag's eagle. Unfortunately, after the war and after the fire of 33, it was absolutely necessary to rip out most of the inside of the Reichstag building. But where they could, they kept the old walls on almost every level of the Reichstag building. And where you see these old walls, you also see this Russian writing, this graffiti. And this is from the Russian soldiers, the Soviets, who were the first to conquer Berlin and the Bundestag in May 1945. And yes, they left their mark here. There are also people and who really are behind this writing, people who fought in a war. And there's a nice story. There was once a Russian lady here. There was an event to commemorate the end of the war. And she actually found the signature of her husband who had fought in the war. He had long since died, but she, of course, was emotional and couldn't believe that she could still see something of her husband here in this building.
Now we are in the middle.
Yes, we're now standing in front of the plenary chamber, looking through the glass doors. We're looking at the Bundestag's eagle from the other side. This is known as die fette Henne, the fat hen or the fat chicken. So below the eagle, there's a grey box with three or four seats. That's where the president of the Bundestag sits. He's the one who's responsible for leading the debates. The debates are always Wednesdays to Fridays in a parliamentary week. And he counts the votes, leads the debates, makes sure that the speakers aren't talking for too long, and so on. Right in front of that box, you can see the area where the speaker would be. Each party takes turns at the debate. We have five parties here. Yes, and on the left-hand side, four rows. In these rows, these are where the cabinet members sit. So our ministers all sit there on the side where we have our German flag. And in the front row, on the right-hand side, one seat has a higher back to it, and that's where the Chancellor sits. Currently Angela Merkel. On the right-hand side, we've also got four rows. That's where our minister-presidents of the federal states would sit when they take part in a meeting. So from our point of view here, on the very right-hand side, opposition party, Die Linken, so the left-wing party. Then comes a larger section of the SPD. They're in power now, with the Christian Democrats in a coalition. Here in the middle, this smaller slice, also an opposition party, the Greens. Then we've got Die Union, so the Christian Democrats. They have the most members currently, but only a few more than the SPD. And then on the very far left-hand side, from our point of view here, the Liberal Democrats, FDP. Mm-hmm. And you can see these silver marks in the floor, where each of these purple chairs sits. So every 4 years when we have new elections, the seating is rearranged. So obviously one party then gains a few, one loses a few, as it always is. And there's not one seat too many or too little, they are all exactly counted out. And within each parliamentary group, there's no definite seating arrangement. The Germans are well known when they go on holiday for reserving their beach chairs with their towels. And our party members aren't different either. They often come here first thing in the morning and reserve the seat at the very front with their briefcase or with their documents or their coats and get the best seat. They're always then on television when they do. So they're though no different. Right now there's no debate taking place. All of the members of parliament are in their constituencies this week. But if a debate was taking place now, then we wouldn't be able to look into the plenary chamber. There are blinds here that had to be especially built in. And they stop anyone from looking down into the chamber when a debate takes place for one reason. I think it was the first or second debate here in the Bundestag after the Reichstag was reopened. And journalists up here on this level were extremely pleased to see that from here you can look directly onto the tables in the plenary chamber. And with a nice camera or an expensive zoom, you can of course photograph everything.
And you can read everything.
And these journalists published then confidential documents that they photographed. And for this reason, these blinds had to be built in. I'm sure the architect had used so much glass for one reason. He wanted it to be open, wanted a lot of light to get in, wanted also people to be able to view the plenary chamber from up here. But, yeah, some things you just don't expect beforehand and don't think of. Besucher Terrasse.
So now we are not anymore alone.
No.
It's really... There are a lot of visitors.
We've now reached the place that's open to the public. We're on the roof of the Reichstag building, on the outside of the cupola.
And here we already have a very nice view over Berlin, or is it better when we go upstairs?
It's much better when you're at the top. Okay. Unfortunately, it's a little overcast today, but on a clear day, you can look over the whole of Berlin.
So finally, we have reached the highest top of the cupola.
Yes, exactly. We've reached the top, and from here you have a fantastic view over Berlin in every direction. We've got a view now of the parliamentary district with its four main buildings. Paul Löbe House, where the committee meetings take place. On the other side of the river, the parliamentary library. Jakob Kaiser House, where we started, and the Chancellery. And if you look carefully, you'll see that the Chancellery, Paul Löbe House, and Elisabeth Luders House, it's the library, they're all in one line. The buildings look similar in style, this very light concrete, modern colour, lots of glass. And these form one line. Over what used to be the border between East and West, symbolically to join what used to be two different states. And we can see the new modern station, Lehrter Hauptbahnhof, in all its glory, just finished last year for the World Cup, for the Football World Cup. The Chancellery there, three times the size of the White House. It's really huge. Looking towards the left, we've got the Tiergarten.
Where Knut lives.
Yes, well, Knut lives in Zoo, in the zoo, on the other side of the Tiergarten. Yeah, Knut the polar bear. and this is the huge wood, the huge forest in the middle of Berlin. I think something like 60% of Berlin is made up of forests and lakes, or 70% even. So it's a very, very green city. You can see the Victory Tower with the Golden Angel in the center of Berlin. Going round to the left again, we've got Potsdamer Platz and the Sony Center. Modern district, shopping, modern apartments. That area, I think, is the most city-ish area of Berlin. Some of the buildings remind you a bit of Manhattan. And as we go round, we see the Brandenburg Gate. Also what used to be the border between East and West Germany. The new Holocaust Memorial, the modern memorial with its concrete blocks. The new American Embassy. And well, as you see, Berlin is still a construction site.
But it's always under construction site. Yeah.
Berlin's constantly changing. Yeah. It's very exciting. There's always something new. If you've not been in Berlin for a year, you come back and
everything's new.
Everything's changed. Yeah.
But you would recommend everybody who has never been here to watch this?
Yes. Everyone who comes to Berlin has to come to the Reichstag. It's to be expected. It's on every postcard. It's just become a symbol of Berlin. It's definitely a must for everyone. And as I say, it's free. And they're not just Germans who come here. You'll notice there are a huge amount of international tourists who all want to have this splendid view over Berlin as well.
That was today's Radio Goethe magazine. Please find us online at radiogoethe.org and subscribe to our podcast. I'm Arndt Peltner.
Einfach wunderbar. Komm, wir ziehen nach Berlin. Wenn der Tod das alle Leben, ja, da kannst du was erleben. In Berlin.
Wo treffen Menschen sich aus Ost und West, aus aller Welt, aus jedem Nest? Wo hat die Liebe das Sagen, feiert glänzende Paraden und die Luft einen ganz besonderen Duft? Wo gibt es eine ganz spezielle Wurst mit Currydrauf, macht Riesendurst? Wo kannst du echte Schnauzen hören, Berliner Kinder nachts betören? Willst du der Welt entfliehen, zieh nach Berlin.
Komm, wir ziehen nach Berlin. Tobt das alle Leben, ja, da kannst du was erleben. In Berlin.
Wer ist die schönste Dame an der Spree? Die alte Tante Hertha BSC. Wer wird sie alle überholen? All die Weltstadt, Metropole, nur Berlin kriegt wirklich alles hin.
Komm, wir ziehen nach Berlin. Denn da tobt das alle Leben, ja, da kannst du was erleben. In Berlin. Komm, wir ziehen nach Berlin. Denn da tobt das alle Leben, ja, da kannst du was erleben. In Berlin.
Wir wollen nicht nach Kapstadt und Hawaii. Wir wünschen nach dir.